Dublin's good times all summer with Leanne Hanafin and Paul Ryder. Weekday mornings from 10 on 98FM.
Yesterday on the show, we were talking about the fact that it was National Big Kids Day. So yes. We were kind of reminiscing about being a kid, the things that you miss from your childhood. And one of the things we had kind of briefly mentioned was video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like such an important part and a fun part of being a child as well. But then we were having a conversation after the show yesterday about the video games that we used to play as kids.
Yes, because...
And there were so many.
There's an age gap difference between myself. Like, I'm not like... She's not 21 years younger than me, but I'm just saying there's a bit of an age gap, which I love because it means that the things that I saw as a teenager, you were kind of seeing as a child.
Yeah.
My first console was the Sega Mega Drive. Now, do you know... Which was...
Even listening to that just brings you back, doesn't it?
That brought me back so much. I was a massive fan of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, you mean this?
God.
Sonic was one of my favourite games.
And you know what's gas? Like, Sonic the Hedgehog is still making movies. Like, he's still a movie star.
Still around.
Out there doing all the bits.
And games, I'm nearly sure, for newer consoles nowadays.
It was, and like, I mean, like before screen time was screen time, especially during the summer, I think you were allowed an hour a day at about 2 o'clock after A, I'd gotten up and had my breakfast.
Yeah.
B, been outside and touched some grass. C, had me lunch and then done me chores. And then it was a case of, right, you can have an hour on the Sega Mega Drive.
As a little treat. And you were making the most of that hour as well. Ours in our house, I think my first experience of a console and video games was actually through the neighbours. Mm. They used to have a PlayStation that me and my brother just constantly used to go over, literally just to play, not even to play with the kids, but to play with the PlayStation. But tell me why the PlayStation startup music is so terrifying. Right?
Like, you do sound like you're going into a lift of death. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. That's terrifying to me.
And do you remember when the thing used to skip, the CD used to skip and you'd have to open it and you could be in the middle of a game. Talking about games for PlayStation though, because then it moved to, from Sega Mega Drive and Sonic the Hedgehog, Crash Bandicoot for me.
Oh!
That noise!
It's bringing you right back.
Oh my God.
And I think Crash Bandicoot is another guy that's kind of still luring around at the moment.
So my husband, God love him, he's a 32-year-old toddler. He decided that he wanted to get a PlayStation last year. And he got one and he said to me, his hook, line and sinker for me was, I'll buy you Crash Bandicoot.
No. That's a little bit of blackmail now, isn't it?
Ah, come here to me, I fell for it. He bought me Crash Bandicoot and I swear to God, I know I've only played it a couple of times. I don't have time to be playing video games, but I've played it a couple of times and has it brought me back to sitting at the end of my bed trying to beat every single... Because I remember I finished Crash Bandicoot 1, 2 and 3. Oh,
sorry, I hope you had that on your CV.
Of course I do. Professional video game player.
So impressive.
And myself and my friend Joseph, as a kid, we used to like try and like play for each other. So he'd say, I'll take over. We were like a team, like tag team.
Yeah.
Such a good buzz.
That is so wild. For us, I think, because you just mentioned like nowadays coming back and playing the games that you used to play, all my cousins are younger than me. So they all kind of grew up in the age of this. And so did I. Super Mario as well.
Loved that
game. But like anytime I go to play it now, I'm terrible.
Do you remember having... Do you have a Game Boy? What was your first...
First console that we had in our house was... I think a Nintendo DS.
God.
Like we were late to the game. With no money, guys.
Nobody did. I remember...
But the neighbours down the road, the ones I mentioned with the PlayStation, they also had a Game Boy.
You,
hence the reason why I was in their house more than ours.
Do you remember you used to go into game and I'd look at like the top 10 chart, one to whatever... And then all of a sudden, my mom would be like, no, go wait in that chart. Go around to the corner to the 1999 games. There was me playing the Spice Girls dance video game on PlayStation. If you remember that, you were a true Spice Girls fan.
I mean,
you used to be able to dress
them. That nowadays.
I still play it now.
That's still your favourite game.
Leanne Hanafin and Paul Ryder on 98FM.
We're talking all about video games, the ones that bring you back to your childhood and all the consoles you used to play on as well, the Sega, the PlayStation, anything at all. 0877 98 98 98. We've loads of texts, WhatsApps, voice notes flying in, so thank you so much for getting in touch this morning.
Yeah.
Here is Keith.
The first one I ever had was a gift. It was given to me by an uncle. He came across it, and he gave it to me. was an Atari. The first one I ever got off Santi was a Commodore 64. It used to take you anywhere between an hour and 6 hours to load a game because they were on cassettes.
Oh.
I used to put it into load it up going to school. And would wait, hopefully be back. Be loaded by the time you actually get home.
I remember the Commodore 64 so well. Neighbours of mine two doors down would have had it before Sega Mega Drive was ever a thing. They were cartridges that you had to like load in.
And then you had to like, if there was dust in them or the game wasn't working.
Yeah,
you
take it out.
Yeah,
oh my God.
And you really believed that it was going to work.
Yeah.
Also, if you had a game on a disc and it was scratched.
Yeah, it was never going to happen.
That game was gone. Bin for that game, I'm afraid.
The Commodore, my God.
Oh, that's a throwback. Monique's been in touch as well.
Hello, guys. I'm a 45 years old Brazilian living in Ireland for over 11 years. My childhood video game was about my older brother's Ataris. And later I used to go to my cousin's house to play loads of Nintendo games. Mario and his mates were a big hit.
Yes.
Love you guys. Kisses, kisses. Money.
Thank you, Monique. That's so good. There's something in like going to the cousins or going to the neighbor's house. Why do they all always have the better games than us?
So quick one. My dad used to work for Mitsubishi Electric, which was like TV and thing, right?
Yeah.
But one of his biggest clients was Atari Expo in the square in Tala. So whenever my dad would go in and check on the client, the man who owned Atari would give me, you're talking hundreds of euros worth in coins and would send me off, and I used to have a ball.
No.
Just because Monique said Atari, I literally just remember that.
Oh my God, that is mad. See, it's all who you know, isn't it? Lee sent a voice note as well.
How's it going, guys? You brought back some good memories there for me. I remember the first game I got was for the old SNES, the Nintendo. It was actually a double bill. It was Super Mario. The other game was Duck Hunt.
And
you got a gun with it. And you used to have to try shoot the ducks, and there used to be a very annoying little dog in it that would laugh if you missed the ducks.
But
cheers for bringing back some good memories there. Thanks, love the show, Lee.
Thank you, Lee. I think we might have a little sound of that dog in question, the one that laughs.
So, Lee, if you're listening, prepare for PTSD.
Is that the one?
Yes,
is that the sound effect from it?
That's the one. The annoying little laugh if you didn't shoot all the ducks.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Paul Ryder on 98 FM.
Earlier on, we were chatting about video games and we were getting all kinds of nostalgic, right? Mm. And we had mentioned a couple of times that often it was the neighbours or, you know, the cousins who were living nearby that would have had the best consoles, the best games, and you always wanted to go around to their house.
And then it kind of got me thinking, because as I was driving into my estate yesterday, I remember I looked over at one of the neighbors' houses and I was like, oh, do you remember when you went into their back garden? And it got me thinking about the excitement about going to somebody else's house, especially as a kid, because I actually flashed myself back into thinking, I remember the time that I got the invite to go into their back garden to play, because it was almost like dating, right? It was almost like breaking a barrier of like, okay, the kid likes you, so then you're going to go into their back garden.
Yeah, because all the time you've been playing in this communal area.
Uh-huh. And then if you were good enough and behaved enough, then the mother of said child may invite you into the house.
Mm.
But I remember getting into a house that was the corner house of mine, a girl named Amy. She'll know if she's listening. She knows who. I now teach her daughter, which is the weirdest kind of thing in the world.
Full circle.
Full circle. But I remember being invited into her back garden, and she had the corner house. Back garden was massive.
Massive.
Huge.
Always bigger, yeah.
And I remember being invited into that back garden and going in there, and it was almost, I could actually hear the Jurassic Park theme tune as I walked in, because I was like, sexy swings, footballs galore, what is this, heaven? I remember being buzzed beyond belief, the fact that I got through this level of our friendship, that I got to go into her back garden.
It's like an achievement unlocked. But it's also so weird because obviously you were living in the same estate. All the houses are built the very same, kind of have the same back garden as well. Obviously, if you're the corner house versus a terrace, it's a little bit different. But essentially, it is the same. But there is a fascination with it being somebody else's house, somebody else's garden, somebody else's things. And everybody else's was better than what you had as well.
Yeah.
Always, like we mentioned about the consoles, they were always going to have, you know, the better consoles, the bigger television as well.
The big
you'd walk
telly.
In and you'd be like, sorry, the size of my yoke.
Sorry, I like
compared to this.
What is this, UCI Cinemas? Like, what the hell is going on?
Literally, I'm in the IMC right now. Like, this is the IMAX.
You'd live for that though. You'd live for the moment where you knew they had a big telly because you might have seen it. You know when you were knocking for somebody, hi, it's Joseph here.
Yeah.
And then you'd like pass by their living room window and you'd see like what can only be described as like a Jumbotron.
Television, IMAX, HD, 4K, even when 4K wasn't a thing.
So to get invited into the house was a massive, massive deal.
I think a big kind of... a big factor in all of this as well that we used to think about as children, kind of subconsciously, but now that we think about it, it's funny. If that house had branded food.
Oh, you were rich.
Because for context, I came from a non-branded house. We didn't really spend money on, you know, the big brands or anything like that.
Same.
But when you went to another kid's house and they had all the brands, you were like, oh, this is heaven.
Like if they had a bottle of Coca-Cola, you were in the money. And it wasn't like a bottle of Harvest Spring or something like that, which went flat in about 3 seconds and you were putting it into a paper cup and the bottle was bigger than your future.
Literally.
You were trying to tip it over just to put a tiny bit into this plastic cup.
Yeah.
If this is striking up any memories for you, please get in touch, drop us a text. Or were you the person who was living in the corner house?
Oh, maybe you're the one that we all envy.
Maybe you had the sexy swing in the bottle of Coke.
Leanne Hanifin and Paul Ryder on 98FM.
We've been talking about nostalgia and being a kid and nostalgic moments that you would have had, especially when it comes to the neighbours, the houses, the back gardens, as to what made you think that the neighbour or the person whose house you used to visit was like the lap of luxury.
Yeah.
Because then you'd go home to your own house and be like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Hate living
this
here.
House.
Stupid people.
We've nothing. We don't have that.
We were talking about whether people had branded food, whether they had the big sexy swing in the back garden, big televisions. You've been getting in touch in your droves, as always. Eddie's texting, he's en route to Carlo. He says, watching Doctor Who in TV colour.
Oh, okay. Instead of black and white.
Rory is also in Kildare and he says, similar TV, somebody who had a satellite dish and who had Sky Movies or Sky Premier.
I also think Sky Full Stop.
Sky Full Stop.
I'm nearly sure for years we only went with the four channels.
100%. I was just about to say
the four
that.
Channels is all you needed, but then you went to someone else's house who had Sky and you were like, okay, I've just been... like taken back and now my eyes are open and I have nothing.
You were in the future.
I was literally in the future.
Like I said, my dad used to work for a TV company, right? So he used to get some bits and bobs been sent down from different places. So we had a satellite dish. We had 999 channels at one point. Now, most of them were in Spanish.
Didn't matter though.
But the first 15, and we also had Sky Movies and Sky Premiere.
Oh.
And I can't tell you, because on a Thursday evening would have been the big Sky Premiere day. They would have put whatever film was. I used to kick the door in at school to tell everybody what I watched the night before. Like, I was almost cocky to a point of being like, I watched The Lion King last night.
This is also what we've said. Maybe you were that child that everyone wanted to go and kind of be friends with and go over to their house for. You were that child.
I had nothing else, just nice televisions.
That's all you needed.
Yeah.
Katrina's in Rathfarnham. She's been in touch as well. She said, because you actually, Paul, had mentioned about the corner estate.
Oh, yes.
Or the corner house in your estate, and that was the house that everyone wanted to go to. Well, Katrina says the corner house of my estate used to get the obstacle bouncy castle for birthdays. They also had five kids. So the parties were frequent.
Sorry. A bouncy castle.
There's nothing like the excitement of seeing a bounce castle. Me now, as a fully grown adult, will see a bounce castle in someone's garden and be like, why wasn't I invited to that? I want to go in there.
A bouncy castle as a kid? What were they, the Hiltons?
Right?
Jeepers.
That was a sign of wealth, 100%. Dean, also in Ballybreath this morning, says, our next door neighbours used to have one of the big swimming pools in their garden in the summers. Myself and my brother used to, not so discreetly, look over the wall in the hopes of being invited in.
I used to hate when they used to have parties and I wasn't invited.
Yeah.
Especially to Amy, who lives in the corner house, because like me and her had a bit of a tempestuous relationship. So some years I'd be invited and then some years I'd be like standing outside just walking past looking in
hoping for the invite.
Yeah, and I'd see everyone in the pool playing around and I'd be like that going, oh, it's okay, I'll just play in this puddle.
Oh, that's so sad. No, you're like, hope you're all having a terrible time in there. They weren't having a terrible time. They were having a great time.
I hope the burgers are cold and the Coke is flat.
Leanne Hanifin and Paul Ryder on 98 FM.